own it.
He had it. Oh, there it is.
Hello, hello. Hi, welcome. Sergio and I decided to call each other and coordinate our shirts. Isn't that nice? Yeah. The message today, is be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. So we're being one. So anyway, it's good to see you all. Glad that you're here. We had a fundraiser this last Thursday, and I want to tell you a little bit about how that all got started. And I think that it is exactly what we want to be here at Way of Life. We want your giftedness and your strengths to encourage the body and to continue to grow. And so we had a need, and the need was that the orphanage needed about $25,000 in order to work toward completion of the facility. We believe that that's going to do it for us, maybe $5,000 or $6,000 one way, but or the other. But we need about $30,000, $25,000 in order to build the facility into completion. So a couple in our church, Frank and Patty Grosso, knew what their strengths were. They knew what their gifts were. They knew what their time was, and they utilized their time, talent, and treasure in order to develop a fundraiser dinner event, which they knew that they could do. And so they organized the fundraiser dinner, put the thing together, and organized it all. And so let's give them a huge round of applause. Yes. Yeah. I know. You want to be humble, and that just adds to the beauty of it. But the fact of the matter is they used their time, talent, and treasure in order to bring this about. And because of that, we raised $23,500 that evening. And checks are still coming in. So we believe that we'll make it. We believe that we'll make the $25,000 goal, which is amazing, isn't it? Praise God. And so that's all God utilizing his people in order to do his plan and his work and his will. And so that's exciting. That's what we're about here. That's why we exist. That's a way of life. We want this to be not just something that we do, right? It's who we are. And so wherever you sense God leading you and using your time, talent, and treasure, man, I just encourage you to share that. Share that with us and so that we can help you understand and help you complete what it is that God is calling you to do. So with that, we have a couple of announcements. One is, what day are we going to another church?
August 20th.
August 20th. So here's the announcement. I know that we're over a month away, but the solar eclipse is happening on Monday, August 21st, right? So August 21st, the solar eclipse is happening. The school district has made a broad sweeping statement, that policy that says we're not renting any of our facilities at all for that weekend before the solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, we have to meet somewhere else. So as elders, we discussed it and we said, what would be the best use of our time that weekend? Like, where should we go? Should we meet in a park? Should we meet outside here? Should we, you know, where should we go? And we kind of discussed what we should do. And at that time, we were also having conversations with Rolling Hills Baptist Church just down the road over here on Sunnyside. And we were having discussions with them about partnering with them for midweek use of their facility. And so we said, well, why don't we then, as a church, collectively go over to that church and bless it, essentially double the size of their congregation that morning, and say, hey, we're Way of Life Fellowship, and we love you guys, and we have the same focus, same community, same area. And so we want to partner and bless you guys. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it all together. And so I know that a lot of you are going to be thinking, oh, good, a week off. Or, I don't want to go to another church and listen to another preacher and worship in another place. And I get that. I totally understand that. But let's do it together. Let's go together. And because it would be really lame for all the elders and their wives to show up and nobody else shows up. We're like, hey, So we just want to show up and we want to bless them and we want to support them in their ministry. So that's coming up. Also, yeah. They start at, we're showing up at 10:30. That's what it is. 10:30. So 10:30, our normal service time. So, oh, just so that you know, as an announcement, 10:30 is when we start. In case you forgot. So 10:30 is when we'll meet over there at that fellowship over there. Yes. So Battle Creek. Do you know where Sunnyside Road is? So this is Commercial. Sunnyside, it runs parallel with Commercial. It's the next road down. Across from you, like I'm using my mail as like, yeah. So Sunnyside is over on this side. Commercial's on this side. There's a golf course over there. It's called Creekside Golf Course. Right across the street from Creekside Golf Course is the Baptist Church. So Rolling Hills. Oh, right from across from their entrance. Sure. Yeah, we'll give you the address like as we get closer to the date too. We'll give you the address. There's the address. What is it? 6196 Sunnyside Road, in case you want to put that in your calendar so you can make sure and do it. Also, grab those prayer request forms and fill those out, please. I know some of you are like, I never fill those out, and I don't care what you say. I'm not going to fill it out because you're just rebels like that. But I would encourage you to please fill them out for us. It just helps me to know how to pray for you. And I get really bored praying for you about the same things over and over and over again because I don't know what else to pray for you about. So either call me or text me or give me your prayer requests on those pieces of paper that we make incredibly easy for you to fill out. Okay. Anything else? All right. Let's... Men's accountability tomorrow morning is not meeting at the Paquins. Paquins? Thank you. Yeah, that's what I thought. Paquins. So not meeting at the Paquins. It's going to be meeting at JJ's house. Oh, Original Pancake House. Ruthie will be at the Original Pancake House for the guys' accountability if you want to meet her there. So, yeah. Okay. All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Lord, we want to just bless you today. We want to praise you and we want to thank you for your glorious goodness and for your amazing blessing that you've provided for us as a fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the orphanage. Thank you for Jose. Bless him today. It's his birthday. So, Lord, bless Jose today. Thank you for the blessing of bringing in $23,500, Lord. We pray for $25,000 to come in, Lord. And we just pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that you would use us for your good pleasure, Lord. We give you praise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I want to welcome all of you once again to Way of Life Fellowship. We're going to go ahead and open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 5 is where we'll start. And what we'll see here is that we'll encounter Jesus praying to God the Father. And we'll notice the type of conversation he has with the Father. And then later on, we'll learn something more about the way that Jesus praise to the Father that includes the church. So again, please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. The Gospel of John was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so you'll see this coming throughout Scripture in the Gospel of John. He wants people to know, he wants his readers to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they might believe that we can be one in his name. And so he presents evidence about the true identity of Christ, and he does so by pointing to 8 different miracles throughout the Gospel of John as to how Jesus does this and how it points to his deity. So what's going on prior to chapter 17? Well, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's essentially letting them know, I'm about to leave. I'm about to depart. And when they hear this, their hearts become saddened, because they're like walking with Jesus. Just think about that for a second. They're walking with Jesus. They're committed to Jesus. They've left everything else behind to follow him. And then they hear Jesus say, hey, listen, guys, I'm about to leave. I'm about to go. And so they were confused about what was going to happen. And throughout the whole Gospel of John, you hear Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, and yet they're confused. They don't understand where he's going. But Jesus tells them that their sorrow will soon be turned into joy. And he tells them there's something else coming. There's something else coming. You're not going to be alone in this world. There's something else coming. And in order for you to receive it, I need to leave. I need to go back to the Father. And he tells them, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so this is meant to be a source of encouragement for them. It's not for them to be sorrowful. It's not for them to be sad. It's for them to be at peace and encouraged that there is something greater coming. And he reveals this later on, that this thing or this person who is coming, to be more specific, is the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the one who has been called to be by our side, the one who's called to walk with us here on earth. And so he's saying, I'm going to leave, but be at peace. You're not going to be alone. You see, there's something crazy that's going to happen in chapter 18. Chapter 18, Jesus is arrested. This is the same day, chapter 17 and chapter 18. It's only within a few matter of hours that this is going to happen. And so rather than focus on just his suffering, rather than just focus on everything else, according to the Gospel of John, as it proclaims here, he is more concerned about slowing down, pausing, and praying to the Father. And I wonder how many of us, when we find ourselves in a dark situation, our first reaction is to slow down and look onto the Father. This is exactly what Jesus did. And again, it was only within a few hours of his crucifixion. Chapter 18, he's betrayed by Judas, one of his followers, somebody who had walked alongside of him, somebody who appeared to have given everything up to follow him and yet betrays Jesus. He's denied by Peter 3 different times. He's even condemned by his own people and taken to Pilate and eventually condemned to the cross. Now, just think about that. Within a few hours of his prayer, he finds himself in this moment of darkness. But you see, it is in those moments, in the moments of darkness, that Christ shines even brighter. This might have been the darkest day in his life, knowing that his life was about to end, or so it seemed. But rather, he was light, and he was the light of the people as he went on to fulfill the purpose of the Father. Even in the midst of all of this, Jesus looks to the Father. And so my prayer this morning is that we would find the type of unity that Jesus has with the Father. Listen to how he talks to the Father, chapter 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life and to all whom have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have that you gave to me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Did you catch all of that? He's talking about being one with the Father. If you go through chapter 17 and you just circle all the times he says one, you would be amazed to see that his plea here is to be one with the Father, that we would be one with the Father just as he is one with the Father. Jesus says, glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you. What does that even mean? Glorify the Son so that the Son may glorify you. This word glorify within the context of this gospel means to be clothed in splendor. That's literally what it means. The only way that this could happen, that Jesus would be clothed in splendor, is by him fulfilling the will of the Father. And so this is a very personal prayer for him. And it gives testimony to Jesus' commitment to do the work, to be on mission, to fulfill what he has been called to do here on earth. Even to die on a cross, which was, back in those times, it was shameful. The only people who were crucified were those who broke the law, there were thieves, there were people who had done acts that merit their condemnation on a cross. Yet Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin in order that we might have life, in order that we might be forgiven of our sins. One writer said, Jesus requested God's help, in other words, his grace, in his sufferings, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And he actually reveals this through this chapter. He not only talks about the crucifixion, it's not just about this hope that there will be a resurrection, but there's also this hope that there will be this ascension to the Father. And that's the hope that believers have today. You see, we have the hope that not only will we die, but we'll be raised from the dead one day, and we'll be in the presence of the Lord in glorified bodies. We'll be clothed in splendor in the same way that Jesus is clothed in splendor. All of this was ultimately for the glory of God. All that Jesus did was for the glory of God. It would magnify his wisdom, his power, and his love. The Father had also glorified the Son by giving him authority. Now we think about that type of authority, and it says here that the Son received that authority from the Father. What authority? To give eternal life. That is the authority that Jesus has. He is able to give life. He is able to take a dead man and give him life. And this life comes by those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no other way. In the book of John, chapter 14, 6, he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying there is no other way to come to the Father. You can't be one with the Father unless you go through me. It's impossible. You see, what is impossible for man is possible for God. And the only way to possibly be connected to God is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. What is eternal life? That's always an interesting concept. When we think about eternal life, we think about this place where we're just going to be completely removed from this earth. It's this place where it's just going to, I don't know what comes to mind, but for you personally, but as you think about that, listen to his definition of eternal life. This is how he describes it. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Is that your definition of eternal life? He says that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, Jesus here is not saying that they are only to know God the Father. He includes himself here and says, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this also includes, we know, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what they're to receive after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, to empower us for the ministry of equipping the saints to preach the gospel. And you see, we want to be known by God. We want to be known by God. And we want to know God. It's not enough to say, I know about God. I know what the Bible says about God. But to know God is to be in a personal relationship with him. It's more than just being a distant friend. It is being committed. It is following. It is saying, you know what? I'm all in. I want to be one with you. I'm committed. Do you see the oneness of Jesus and the Father? You see, they were one in relationship. Before the foundation of the earth, we'll see that they were connected. They were already in relationship. They were already in community. And we see in the passage that Jesus submits to the Father, to his will, and the Father gives him authority. There's not a power struggle there. There's this co-equality, this unity, this co-eternal essence that unites them. It is their relationship that brings them together. It's God. And one of the interesting things about this passage and about the whole Bible is that they're so united. They're so united that they submit to one another. Jesus submits to the Father. The Holy Spirit submits to Jesus. And they work together for the purpose of redeeming humankind. When I was reading this passage, I just realized just the thought of what does it mean to be known by God? What does it mean? We see in the book of Matthew that there are some people that are in the presence of the Lord, and he says, Lord, we did all these amazing things. We prophesied in your name. You know, we casted out demons. And then he says, depart from me. I never knew you. So what does it mean to be known by God? It is to have an intimate relationship with the Savior. It is to be all in. It is to be one with the Father. It is to be one with Christ. It is to be one with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, verse 5, now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Do you get what he's saying there? He is saying, Jesus was saying, I'm so eager to return to the Father. I can't wait to be one completely with the Father. Yes, he was one while he was here on earth, but he was still here on earth. He wasn't at the right hand of the Father as he is now. And so he has this eagerness, this heaviness of wanting to return to the Father. And he was going to return to the Holy of Holies after his death and resurrection when he ascended to heaven. What would it be for us, or what would it look like for us to be in the presence of God? I think we would fall on our faces and just worship. I think we would have no other choice but to do so, to be in his majesty and his splendor and his greatness, to be able to just hear his voice for the very first time. What would that be like? One of the ways we hear the voice of God is through Scripture, because all Scripture is God-breathed. What would it be to audibly hear that? What would it be for him to be our light? What would it be like to be walking and knowing that everything that was created is for His glory and His honor? But Jesus is not just focused on His relationship with the Father. He also goes on to pray for His disciples. He prays that they would be protected from the evil one who looks to come, destroy, and kill the faith of all who draw near to Christ. And He prays that they would be united and that they would be sanctified in the truth. Now, you might be wondering, why does this matter? How does this even apply to my life today? Why should I care that Jesus was praying to the Father and that Jesus prays for His disciples? Why does it even matter? Well, it matters because not only does Jesus pray to the Father, not only does He pray for His disciples, He prays for you. Look at the passage, verse 20. So jump down to verse 20 of chapter 17. It says, I do not ask for these only. In other words, I'm not just asking for the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. What word? The preaching of the gospel, the message that the disciples were to carry on. That is what the Father is saying. And He says, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. You see, the Father wants us to be united, and He's praying for the church. Not only is He looking at His present circumstances, not only is He looking at the people that are there, His disciples, He's looking beyond all of that and praying for all generations to come that are to believe in Christ. And He's praying that we would be one, just as the Father and Him are one. Why does God want us to be one so badly? Or why does He repeat it so many times? Look at the next verse. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The reason we are united as a body of believers, the reason we hold each other accountable, the reason we are in communion and relationship with one another is so that the world may see, that the world may see and believe that you have sent me. That is the purpose of a unity creates an atmosphere that people are drawn to. You see, we don't need all of the gimmicks. We don't need all of the lights. We don't need a bunch of snacks. We don't need all of these different things. We need to be first and most of all united. The other things are secondary. Unity is what we need. The world doesn't need all of these other things. The primary thing that the world needs is for the church to be united in such a way that the gospel is proclaimed. You see, when we're apart from God, we can't do anything. He is a true vine, and we are just the branches. We can't produce fruit unless we're connected to the vine. Unless we're one with God, there can be no fruit. Not only are we to be connected with God, we are to be connected with one another. The glory that you have given me, the next verse says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do we really believe that God can do that? Do we really believe that God can make us one? He says it here. I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. He's saying, I want them to have the type of relationship that I have with you. That closeness, that intimacy. He wants us to have that. I think some of us sometimes are so good at pushing people away. We even have people who will move outside of the city, way out there, so that they won't be bothered, so that nobody will come knocking at their door. And what they're doing is they're isolating themselves. They're removing themselves from community. Yet, we see here that we are to be one. not isolated, not independent, but to be able to work together for one common purpose, and that is to be on mission. Our mission here is to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ to our community. It's one of the reasons why my wife and I are trying to move from West Salem to be here in this community, because we really believe that the Lord is calling us to be here. We want to be not just a part of a gathering of believers, but we want to be here serving this community. And so it is our desire to be able to leave that, to come here and be a part of this. And so we don't just want to say that we want to be one with the gathering, the assembly, the believers, but we really want to walk with the church. And so I hope that that would be your desire as well, to be walking alongside each other, not just in word, but in deed. To be united also means that when you see somebody who is in need, when somebody who needs your assistance, it is to step forward and say, you know what, because of Christ who unites us in love, I want to do this for you. It is having the type of unity that says, you know, I'm going to sell all of my things, everything that belongs to me. And we see that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where these men in the first church that was ever established are going out, and as needed, they're selling their possessions, or they're giving it away to those who are in need. That's the type of unity that the world needs to see. It's this type of unity that draws them in and says, you know, I want to be a part of that because I know that God resides with that church. And I'm not just talking about this physical building. I don't think the physical building is a church. I believe that you are the church. I am the church. Those who have professed faith in Jesus Christ, we are the church. And so we have been called into unity. That's why it's so important for us to be connected. What would it look like for you personally, as you think about this, to be one with God and one with others? The next verse says, that they may become perfectly one, that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. You see, when we are in unity, we are able to express love. And he's saying that he wants us to feel loved, that the world may know that you sent me and loved them. See, when we're in community, it's where we grow, when we get to know to a deeper level the love that the Father has for us, the love that Jesus has for us, the love that the Holy Spirit has for us. That is built up in community. The world needs the church to proclaim Jesus and unity. And if the church is not united, people are going to struggle to believe in Jesus. And again, I say this with a lot of love. Some of us need to stop playing church and be the church. And I say that with a lot of love. Some of us need to stop playing church and be the church. The church that God has called us to be. Because our future hope is found in Christ. How will others believe if they have not heard? The last part of this says, O righteous Father, this is as Jesus is concluding all of this. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. He's talking about his disciples. They know that Jesus has been sent by the Father. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. You see, when we profess Christ as Lord, we are receiving God Himself. He lives and resides within us. Our body is a temple of the Lord, and Christ is the head of the church. And we submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. And so when he prays that we would be one, we want to submit to that. We want to be one. We want to submit to the will of the Father and continue to submit to Jesus. Again, it's not enough to know about God. We need to know God. Like the apostles, we have been sanctified in His name. Sanctified means that we have been set apart. That's what sanctification is. Set apart for the purpose of doing the will of God. So as we think about unity, as we think about what the Lord has called us to do, as you feel the Lord pressing on your heart today, what does it look like for you personally to be united with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? And what does it look like for you to be united with others? I pray that we would find unity in our assembly, in this gathering, and that our gatherings would not be superficial, but that we would get to know each other at such a deep level that we know what sin people are struggling with, that we know what needs people have, that we know what we are to do in order to bless others, that we would rejoice when others bring Jesus to Christ, that we would rejoice when we are on mission and discipling, that we would know all those things, that we would be so united that the city of Salem has no choice but to admire Jesus, has no choice but to wonder what is going on with that church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we give you thanks. As I was thinking about this, I just felt my heart heavy knowing that I desire so much this unity. I desire to be with you, Jesus. And you say that. You say that you don't want us just to be here, but you want us to be with you. You say, I desire for they also whom you have given me, that they may be where I am. And so, Father, we want to be where you are one day so that we may glorify you. Jesus, we want to be where you are so that we might glorify you. And Holy Spirit, we want to be where you are so that we might glorify you. And so, God, we just give you thanks. Help us to not just be one with you, Father. That wouldn't be enough, that we would also want to be one with others. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, and thank you because you have empowered us with the Holy Spirit in order to do this. We don't do it out of our own strength. We don't do it out of our own will, but we do it out of your will and your strength. And so we're glad and we rejoice in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray that we would remain in your name. Amen. So I want to open up for any questions, any comments that you might have this morning. Please feel welcome to participate. Silence sometimes means more than words can express, so I get it. Okay, if there are...
I think it's... I like the concept, obviously. I think that it's difficult as a church that gets planted into an area of South Salem, and there's a bunch of people who love the concept of what we're doing at Way of Life, right? Mm-hmm. They love the idea. But our communities, like who we connect with on a regular basis, don't go here, you mm-hmm. know? And so I think it's tough to be like, okay, well, I've been a part of church community for my whole life, but not a part of this church community for mm-hmm. my whole life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that makes it a little bit more difficult for relationships to become united and coalesce kind of together. Mm-hmm. And so it takes effort.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. Yeah, I completely agree. I think we live in a community, even just here, where people feel like they don't need Christ. Yeah. They think that that they're happy where they're at. They think they have everything they need. And if they do believe in Christ, they treat Him as as if they're adding something to their lifestyle and not really being committed and being a part of it, a part of Him? Yeah. Yeah, Jesus is not just a bonus thing that gets to be a part of our life. You know, it's just not just another added thing. It's not another element to our salad. No. You know, Jesus is with us and He's a part of us. Yes. I can't hear him, so sorry.
You answered what you said.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Yes.
Well, over the last 3.5 years, I've gotten to grow in learning more about our Southfield community. I've lived in Southfield for 20 years, but in the last 3.5 years, just putting myself out there in service to Bloomberg has opened up so many doors to learn how Jesus is walking in our community, not necessarily in the church, but in the church, getting out in the community, reaching people in the community. And it's not like you can open up a newspaper and find out where that is, but it's out here, it's tremendous. There are people that are serving the Lord with such a heart, and even in a secular world. So every month I go to an emergency housing network meeting. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if anybody wants to be a part of that, Sharon just shared about one of her connections with just people from around the community, and that's at the Union Gospel Mission. Being able to go and be a part of that, if you want more information, you can connect with Sharon. And I do think that God is doing great things. I think a lot of the times we don't realize how much He is doing in our community, but when we stop and just watch what's happening in the community, even God uses even unbelievers for His glory and His purpose. So it's very true. Thank you so much. Yes.
The attorney mentioned about how the people that they were saying were with the business business, and God said, I didn't know you. It's so easy in the church to become people that were so in their own right with things, and like, yeah, this center, this center. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so easy to think about people that need more than just, well, are the snacks right now, the chairs right there, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think even just in ministry, you want to help people, you want to serve the Lord, and you start doing so much activity that you kind of put God in the background, you know, just kind of, he's over there in your life, and He's like waiting for you. He's wanting you to draw near, and we just kind of ignore it. Last week, we talked about worship, and we said that worship is a total appropriate response to who God is and what God has done. And so it's not just activity. And whenever worship is void of love, that's what it becomes. When we begin to love other things above God, when we're so focused on other things that becomes our praise and what we worship, we lose sight of that. That's totally true. Okay, well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, just give you thanks one more time. I pray for this church as we leave this building. Father, I pray that we would be light in this community, that we would seek to be one with you and one with others, and I pray that we would be encouraged to take the risk and preach Jesus and Jesus crucified, and just the story about His redeeming work for us and how He rose from the dead, and so we glorify in you. We pray that we would be kept in your name for your honor and your glory. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.